The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this edition of the Thirsty Dogs Drink Faster podcast on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I am your host, Paul Hudrick. Unfortunately, Seamus Clancy is off this week, so I'm flying solo, but there's still plenty to talk about, plenty to be excited about in Philadelphia sports right now. You have your Philadelphia Phillies postseason bound for the first time in over a decade with a win over the Astros. You have your Philadelphia Eagles 4-0, the only team in the NFL that remains undefeated after a gutty win against the Jacksonville Jaguars and Doug Peterson. You have the Philadelphia 76ers playing some basketball. You're getting some preseason action in. All reports from training camp have been pretty positive. A lot of good stuff. So a lot of excitement and a lot of reasons to be optimistic about your Philadelphia 76ers. And the Philadelphia has a hockey team, so there's that too. We have been so negative about the Flyers, and I think most of that is pretty darn fair. But I want to give you one reason for my optimism with the Flyers. So I will get into that at the end. And look, normally, this is where we start talking about the Eagles, right? We have to talk about the Phillies. This team ended a postseason drought that was the longest in the National League. Hadn't made the playoffs since 2011. We all know how that ended. It basically ended those glory years, the Jimmy Rollins, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley core that had been so successful that gave us so many fantastic seasons and so many wonderful memories. A lot of you that are hearing this, it probably was transformative for you as a Philadelphia sports fan. For me in my early 20s, it was just like a perfect time for that to happen. Those guys are just, we're indebted to those players for what they contributed to the city. And let me tell you, 6, 26, and 11, they all better be retired at some point or very soon. And I would say 35 too, for me, Cole Hamels, I would retire that number too, but we'll see when and if that happens. Maybe we're waiting for the official retirement of Cole Hamels to make all that happen. But you know, and there's a reason why I bring that up and why I kind of talk so glowingly reflecting on that. We've been talking on this podcast. We've been so apathetic about the Phillies, right? Because it felt like, all right, they're going to make the wild card. It's going to happen. But, you know, they're kind of backing in. It's kind of not looking so good. They've had injuries. They're limping to the finish line. And so it was just, and it's, you know, baseball is just that, right? It's a long season. It's 162 games. So that's bound to happen. But I got to say, last night was fun. It just was. It was so fun to watch this team the way they did it. Aaron Nola, look, and you're not going to find a guy who has given Aaron Nola a harder, well, maybe not. You'll probably find a guy who's given Aaron Nola a harder time. But I will be open that I was one of the people that has not been one of Aaron Nola's biggest supporters. But man, hell of a game last night. Took a perfect game into the seventh inning. And listen, I got some beef with NBC Sports Philadelphia with their little perfect game alert. Listen, I get it. Superstitions aren't real, but we all need to hang on to something here. And I just wasn't a fan of them putting right in the score bug. Perfect game alert. Not necessary. We all know what's happening. We all have Twitter. We all know it's not necessary. But anyway, hell of a performance from Aaron Nola. 6 2/3. Scoreless innings against that team. You know, the Houston Astros are a juggernaut, man. That's a great ball club. The first hit he gives up is against Jordan Alvarez, who is a fantastic hitter, one of the best hitters in the American League, who Nola had gotten, who struck out in the two at bats prior. So, you know, for it to end like that, I get it. And I thought, you know, Rob Thompson, kudos to him for pulling the trigger on that, you know, 6 2/3 and going to Alvarado, who I'm going to get into for a minute, who's been lights out for this team. But yeah, in a weird way, I feel like the breaking up of the perfect game slash no hitter is going to help them in the long run, because they need Aaron Nola to pitch game two. So with that, he's going to get this break. He didn't have to throw, you know, he didn't overexert himself. I think he was below 90 pitches on the night. So in the long run, this could be a huge benefit that he didn't pitch a perfect game, as weird as that sounds. But kudos to Aaron Nola. You got to give the guy his flowers. He did a really great job in September. He pitched really well. And, you know, here we are. And he's going to, you know, game two, he's going to get another chance. It's an opportunity to shine, another opportunity to kind of prove us detractors wrong and say, here you go. You know, I am a big game pitcher. I can do the thing. And I think that's what's exciting about the Phillies too, right? You have Wheeler and Nola as your 1-2. I'd put them up against a lot of other 1-2 duos in the National League, maybe even in all of baseball. So that's big. That's big to have that, you know, as you know, again, as Phillies fans, we've experienced how important it is to kind of have those guys at the top of the rotation and what that can do and how that can change a series. And, you know, how dominant Cole Hamels was in 2008 and how that really propelled them to win the whole damn thing. So yeah, they're set up for success. Friday, there is playoff Phillies baseball on Friday. It's looking like the St. Louis Cardinals. And I'm not, listen, this is a hell of a ball club. They have two of the best players in the National League in Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado. Their bullpen is sensational. They have some good starting pitching. But I would say, when I look at Adam Wainwright, I get it. He's ageless. He's 40 years old, but he's ageless. He's been so good in the postseason and so clutch for so long that I don't want to dismiss that. They have Miles Michaelis, who is also a very good pitcher, but I like my chances with Nola and Wheeler. I really do. And then the third, you're looking at game three. If it gets to that, you're looking at Quintana and Ranger Suarez, which I like that matchup too. I think they have a shot if it's the St. Louis Cardinals. It being on the road, of course, makes that tougher. It certainly will make that tougher. The good news is it appears Kyle Schwarber, who I would say between him and JT Realmuto, one of them is the MVP of this team. Perhaps they split that. But Kyle Schwarber looks like he's getting hot again at the exact right time, which is very good news. Bryson Stott also looks like he's warming up a little bit as the season winds down here. They're going to need other guys to step up. There's no doubt about it. Another guy, Brandon Marsh, is OPS over 900 over his last like 20 games or so. He's been really good down the stretch too. Other than that flap against the Cubs and that weird fly ball that he misplayed, been pretty darn good defensively as advertised. There's a lot of things to like about this Phillies team, man. There really is. And I talked about Jose Alvarado and the numbers on Jose Alvarado. So in his last 41 games, Jose Alvarado, 37 innings pitched, a 1.22 ERA, 64 strikeouts in 37 innings. He's only allowed 5 earned runs, a fifth below one. Opponents hitting 153 against him, 224 on base percentage, 237 slugging. The OPS 460. Like, he has been as dominant as you could possibly be. It's hard to argue that there's been a better left-handed reliever in all of baseball during the stretch. That's how good it's been for Alvarado. And you got to give the guy so much credit, right? Like, he was terrible to start the season. He was really rough. Goes down to the minors. He's been open about working with a mental skills coach. He added that cutter at 95 miles an hour. That's become a really dangerous weapon for him. He's their best reliever. He's their guy. He's kind of the Josh Hader bullpen weapon guy that you just use in high leverage situations. So whether it's the seventh, eighth, or ninth, he's the guy you throw out there when you need big outs and big spots against big hitters. So I'm really excited to see how he does in the postseason. I'll be honest, and I'm a little worried about the rest of the bullpen. You know, Zach Eflin gets the save last night, his first career save. It ends an 11-year playoff drought, which is wild. But give him credit, again, for hanging in there, for all the crap he's dealt with this year with injuries and over his career with injuries. And him and Nola are the two longest tenured Phillies. And all, you know, all the stuff they've gone through, all the losing, all the the kind of turmoil with the managers and with the front office. And here we are with those two guys kind of leading the way. It's a pretty cool story, you got to say. And like, you feel so good for a guy like Rhys Hoskins, who's in the same boat as those two, who just, he's talk about much maligned. Like, I don't know that anybody gets as much crap as Rhys Hoskins in this city as any athlete. And he's a pretty darn good ball player. I get it. You know, he's not Pete Alonso. He's not one of the best first basemen in the game, but he's a good baseball player. And it was a very cool moment. The interview after the game, just the pure emotion he had. It was so genuine, so real. Curses on live TV, which is wonderful. And I love that celebration too, where Rob Thompson gives a speech. They start spraying champagne. You just hear a big fuck yeah. Ah, it's so good. I as a fan, I was not anticipating I would be this excited when they actually did clinch, but it was cool, man. It was cool to see. And I think at this point, if you don't feel that way, come on, like, you're a hater. That's it. Like, you're rooting for this team to fail. If today is the day you're ripping Aaron Nola, you're a hater. You're rooting for this team to fail. Like, this is a good day to be a Philadelphia Phillies fan. Everyone should be excited. And look, maybe they lose two games in the Cardinals and it's over, and they don't get a home playoff game in Philly, which is a bummer. But this has been a fun ride, and this could set them up. These are the kind of things that can set a team up for the future. We all know what happened in 2007. They win the division. They get bounced by the Rockies. They come back in 2008 hungry, and they win the whole damn thing. Maybe we're setting up for something similar to that. Who knows? Crazier things have happened, especially in baseball. Maybe this is a little justice, right, with the Cardinals for what we went through in 2011, what we had to endure when we thought we had that series. And the Cardinals come and take it out from under us, and they go on and they win the World Series. Like, maybe this is our time. Maybe it's time to flip that script. That would be a lot of fun. But that looks like it's going to start on Friday. On Sunday, your 4-0 Philadelphia Eagles, as mentioned, the only remaining undefeated team in the NFL. They will be taking on the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, 4:25 start there. Zach Ertz, our old friend there. We got to talk about Eagles Jaguars this past Sunday. Doug Peterson, I thought, man, it wasn't looking good, right, guys? It wasn't looking good. 14-0, the game starts. You know, the pick six, which is a rough play for Hurts. The ball gets tipped up in the air. Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars have that driver. They go right down the field, and you're thinking, uh-oh, 14-0. Like, maybe this isn't the day, right? Like, maybe this, like, the weather sucks. Doug Peterson's back in town. He's got his team hyped and ready to play. Maybe this is just it. Like, maybe this is where the run ends. And, you know, if that happened, I think you're okay with it. But this is the sign of a good team. They get down 14-0. They don't hang their heads. Jalen Hurts, as poised can be, leads the team down the field multiple times. Look, the numbers aren't pretty, right? 16 to 25, 204 yards, no touchdowns, throwing, one on the ground, and an interception. Those numbers don't look too great. But he made the plays that he had to make in order to help this team win a game. The rushing attack, spectacular. Miles Sanders, 27 carries, 134 yards, two touchdowns. That's bell cow stuff. That's number one running back stuff from Miles Sanders. He's got three touchdowns. He didn't have any last year. We're in good shape. Like, when Sheamus and I were talking last week, he brought up the point. Where is the weakness on this team? And I said, well, if you're really, really searching for one, maybe it's at running back. Miles Sanders said, nah, dude, that's not a weakness. This is a really good running team. And you have Jalen Hurts leading the way as well, as a runner, scoring a running touchdown too. It was a gutty performance, man. And I just love, again, the dispersed nature of the offense. You have A.J. Brown starting again, 5 catches, 95 yards. Should have been 6 catches, should have been over 100, and a touchdown for his baby boy. That garbage call on offensive pass interference, didn't agree with it. That was on Dallas Goedert, who also, another spectacular game, 5 catches, 72 yards for Goddard. He's having a great season. He's looking like he's going to be a Pro Bowler this year. He's really taking the mantle from Zach Ertz and, you know, making it look like it's going to be a very easy transition at the tight end position for the Eagles for a long time to come. The defense, again, spectacular. James Bradbury, a huge clutch pick as the Jaguars are moving down the field. Bradbury kind of, comes off his man Marvin Jones and undercuts a throw to Christian Kirk, who clearly Lawrence was targeting and eyed him up. Bradbury read his eyes and just made a great athletic interception in a huge spot. Hassan Reddick. Okay, I think Hassan Reddick is officially adjusting to being an Eagle. Two sacks, two strip sacks. Sensational performance from Hassan Reddick. The defensive line in general, again, I thought was very, very good. Lawrence dealt with a lot of pressure all day. TJ Edwards got another sack, and it was, again, on a great play against Lawrence, who is an extremely athletic quarterback, moving out of the pocket, closing that gap so quickly. TJ Edwards, this guy's the real deal. He looks tremendous. He's been one of their best players, regardless of position, regardless of side of the ball. One of their best players. He's been fantastic. Kaiser White, those two together have just been outstanding. Look, that's this Eagles team. Darius Slay gets hurt. Avante Maddox didn't play. He was out. Jordan Mailata gets hurt. Isaac Seumalo gets hurt. They overcome all of that and a 14-point deficit and wind up winning 29-21. Again, just a gutty, gritty effort. What is it with the Eagles in second quarters, man? They're just really good in the second quarter. It's the dominant showing again, and I'm really looking forward to this matchup Sunday. It's going to be a test. This Cardinals team is 2-2, but they're not a pushover. Kyler Murray, extremely dangerous. They have some really good pieces on defense. This is a dangerous team. It's going to be another fun matchup, but as we talked about many times in this podcast, this Eagles schedule, man, it's breaking really nice for them. They're 4-0, and they're going to have a chance to stack some wins. And not only that, the New Orleans Saints, thank you for giving that draft pick. It's the number 4 overall pick. The Eagles might win their division and also have the top 5 pick. Like, credit where it's due. Howie Roseman is cleaning up a mess. It's a mess he created, but he cleaned it up, and this team looks really good. It's really hard to see the flaws in it. They look outstanding. This is a good football team. I got to give credit to Zach McPherson too, because I've not known what to make of him. You know, rookie last year in his second season, but he was pretty darn good filling in for Slay. I thought he did a really nice job. Josiah Scott was fine. You know, we had a couple rough moments, but not an easy situation for him. Christian Kirk's one of the best slot receivers in the game, so that wasn't the easiest spot for him. But hey, he hung in there. And as a defense, they hung in there. They got the job done. Hell of a win for your Philadelphia Eagles, 4-0. We'll see them on Sunday against the Cardinals. Seamus and I will be back then to break down that game next Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break here on the Thirsty Dogs Drink Faster podcast. We'll be right back talking some Sixers and some Flyers right after this. All right, we covered the Phillies and the Eagles, and now we're going to move on to the Philadelphia 76ers, who played their first preseason action on Monday night against the Brooklyn Nets and our old pal Ben Simmons. I guess we'll get this out of the way first, right? Ben Simmons looked like Ben Simmons. And I say that the good and the bad, right? He was made some great passes, looked tremendous in transition, made some, you know, really great defensive plays, a menace on that end of the floor, caused some turnovers, missed a brick the turnaround jumper, brick two free throws. It's Ben Simmons. I mean, he looks the same. Now, he's going to fit much better on this Nets team. He's got two Hall of Fame perimeter players in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. That's going to help. And he's going to, the Draymond role has been what everyone has kind of linked to him. And I think that is exactly how Steve Nash intends to use him. And I think that's the best way to use him. Don't count on him. Don't count on him for a lot of points as far as just scoring the basketball. He can run the offense from time to time. You can do some stuff from him out of the elbow. Perimeter wise, you know, there might not be a more versatile perimeter defender in the NBA than Ben Simmons. I really thought that Ben Simmons, his last full season, I thought he should have been Defensive Player of the Year. I thought he was that good. With all due respect to Rudy Gobert, I thought Ben Simmons was sensational in his last season, his last full season. Interior-wise, not as strong, I would say, as Draymond. He might have a little bit of tougher time. You know, everyone likes to say, oh, yeah, play Ben at the five. Okay. There are some matchups where I think Ben will struggle against, you know, the 76ers being one of them. If he has to go up against Joel Embiid, that is not a favorable matchup for him. But yeah, there are certainly many fives in the Eastern Conference that Ben Simmons can guard and can do really well against. And the Nets are going to be able to use those lineups and they're going to have success. So yeah, just Ben Simmons look like Ben Simmons. I think that's the long and short of it. There's really no need to go any further into it. And Tyrese Maxey looked like Tyrese Maxey, man. He looked pretty damn good. Game high 20 points, 4 assists. His first two shots of the game are pull-up threes, and you're like, this guy's so good. Hits a runner, gets to the free throw line. I think that's a really important part of his evolution. Took 6 free throws, drawing 3 fouls. He's got to use his speed to do that. Now that he's got the jumper that the teams have to respect after, you know, finishing, what, 3rd in the league in 3-point percentage, teams have to respect that 3. They have to respect the speed. He's going to be a tough guard, man. And with that, he's going to have to get opportunities at the rim. He's going to have to draw fouls. Between Harden and Bede and then Maxey, they're going to live at the line. They should live at the line. And that's not a bad way to play basketball. It really isn't. And, obviously Embiid, Harden, or P.J. Tucker on Monday night. Looking forward to seeing those guys perhaps make their debuts on Wednesday when the Sixers are at home playing the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Mobley, unfortunately. No Evan Mobley, that one, unfortunately, for the Cavaliers, sprained ankle. He'll be out a couple weeks. He's a guy I really want to see, but you should get, you know, perhaps your first look at Donovan Mitchell as a Cavalier. That should be interesting. But yeah, I mean, there was a lot to like about the Sixers last night, Maxey being the most notable part. D'Anthony Melton did not shoot the ball particularly well, but I thought you saw the activity level he's going to bring to the team, and some of the stuff he can do is just kind of an all-around pretty good basketball player, can kind of do a little bit of everything. Matisse Thybulle hits his first 3. I thought it looked good coming out of his hands. He talked about in media day, less wasted motion in his shot. I thought you kind of saw that. I think he was 1 of 3 overall, but the shot looks good. He looked confident taking it. Those are the big things, the progress, you know, that'll come. Tobias Harris, again, a solid night. He was like, I think he had 9 points, 4 boards, 4 assists. The first 3 he hit was off a screen. Now, if he can add that to his arsenal, being able to come off screens and hit shots and hit threes, that's another layer of his offensive game that could be really useful to him and to the Sixers, especially when you look at the other weapons they have. That is a really interesting dimension that I'd like to see more of, and I'd like to see if Tobias can kind of do a little bit more of that, because that, again, can really help him, can really help this Sixers offense be borderline unstoppable. So, like to see more of that. 2 more quick trigger threes he took after that. They were a little off, but again, I just love the quick trigger threes. And as a team, they were just firing away, which I love to see. Isaiah Joe continues to be the greatest preseason shooter of all time. He was 3 of 5, I think, last night from 3. Korkmaz looked good, granted, against, you know, the dregs of the Nets roster, but Korkmaz had 15 and 4 assists, and he looked good. Julian Champagne, I tell you, I was really worried about that signing after I watched him in summer league, because he was just dreadful. I mean, quite frankly, he was just not good. I don't know if he hit 3 threes on Monday night. I don't know that he hit 3 threes in the entire summer league, but that's what he's known for. He's got good size. He can make shots, decent rebounder off, you know, he's more of a wing player. So decent rebounder off the wing. He was more active defensively. So I don't know what it was. Maybe he had some tired legs from, you know, pre-draft stuff. I don't know. But he looked pretty darn good. I like what I saw out of him. I want to see more. He is one of their two-way guys. Trevellyn Queen, got a little banged up. I hope he's all right. We got to talk about the fact that Paul Reed and Montrezl Harrell are the two most chaotic backup big men in the entire NBA, and the Sixers have both of them. Paul Reed was, like, indescribable at moments. The second half, it was really fun. While he's breaking up a lot of passes and blocking shots, it was a lot of fun. Montrezl Harrell fouled out in less than 12 minutes, which is like, it's borderline impressive. But this team's not going to lack for energy this year. That is for damn sure, which it's fun, because that's something they did lack. They lacked athleticism. They lacked energy. They're going to have much more of both of those things this season, which I think is great. Again, love the quick trigger threes. That's got to happen when you're on a team, when you have Joel Embiid in the post, when you have James Harden on the perimeter. Guys got to make shots. They have to make wide open shots when they get them. And I'm really intrigued to see what it looks like the rotation wise. The Sixers have a very good problem of perhaps having too many NBA caliber players for not enough rotation spots. A great problem to have, considering last year it was the opposite. They did not have enough NBA players. So a good problem to have, and we'll see how everything shakes out. Again, Wednesday night, they'll be back in action. I will be there at the Wells Fargo Center covering that for Liberty Ballers. Looking forward to that matchup. I'm going to end this on the Flyers, and I do want to bring up one reason to be excited. A player that I think we can rally behind. And that's Wade Allison. He looked really good in their preseason game last week. He's a fun guy to watch. He's fiery, Scott Hartnell-esque, I would say, with the way he plays, kind of hard-nosed, power forward, not afraid to get into the greasy areas, as they say. Falls down a lot, but falls down a lot because he's busting his ass, because he's giving it his all. So, you know, he's had some injuries the last couple of years, but when he was up 2 years ago, showed some flashes with the big club. What he let's see here. He had, 7 points, 4 goals in 14 games with the Flyers a couple of years ago. Last year was really kind of a lost season for him. Only got one game with the big club, 28 with the Phantom, 17 points, 10 goals in those 28 games. This is a guy that could put the puck in the net. He's pretty skilled, still only 24 years old. A lot to like, and he's just fun. He's got the long red flowing hair, which is fun, which I enjoy. Because there's not, let's be real, there's just not that much to be excited about with this Flyers team. There's not. I really hope Carter Hart bounces back from Kyle, because I still think Carter Hart's a guy that is one of the best young goaltenders in this game, and I think he can still solidify himself as a franchise goalie for this team. I thought last year he had a rough year, and I thought a lot of that had to do with what was going on in front of him. Just not a very good hockey team in front of them. I don't know how much better they're going to be this year. You know, obviously no Ryan Ellis. You're going to be missing Sean Couturier for at least a few weeks here. Joel Farabee's another guy I'm a huge fan of. We'll see where he is. I know he's recovering from a neck surgery. That's something you probably don't want to mess with. I know he's been practicing and moving around, not really ramped up for contact yet, but I'm sure he'll get to that point as well. Really, it's the young guys for me with the Flyers. Like, I can't get, respectfully, I like Cam Atkinson. I like Kevin Hayes. I can't get excited about watching them because, this team might be an 8 seed if everything goes perfectly. And John Tortorella has that effect on the team where they play hard and he gets the maximizes the players on this roster. Maybe they're an 8 seed. Okay. That's not great. That's not really that fun. It won't be like this Phillies thing. Like, the Phillies thing, I was pleasantly surprised at how excited I would be. If the Flyers are an 8 seed this year, I'm not going to be that excited about it. What I will be excited about is if guys like Wade Allison and some of these other young players, whether it's, you know, I don't know, an Owen Tippett, or, you know, it seems like a big year for Morgan Frost. You know, this, like, it's like a make or break time for him. Guy who's been a pretty highly touted prospect who just hasn't been able to make it happen at the NHL level. Cam York, even a guy like a Travis Sanheim. Like, they have young players that you could potentially get excited about, but they have to get you there. So we're still a long ways away from that. But I wanted to give you something positive with the Philadelphia Flyers, something to look forward to instead of the what the frig is going on with the Flyers segment, which will be a lot of fun as the season goes on. That's going to wrap it up here for this edition of the Thirsty Dogs Drink Faster podcast on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Please rate, subscribe, download wherever you get your podcasts. I am Paul Hudrick, and I will talk to you all next time.